Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network. Can laugh power really be as powerful as scream power? That's right, guys. We're talking about your favorite political thriller today. We're talking Monsters, Inc., Monsters at Work on another episode of Systematic Geekology, primarily political. We have a bunch of series we do over here, and this is one of my favorites. We're going to take a look at some of the political themes in our favorite fandoms, and two millennials who at least at some point in our lives lived in Florida and loved Disney. Yeah. You better believe we're going to get into this. I'm Joshua Knoll, here with the one and only Evan Garcia. And Evan, instead of what we're geeking out on these episodes, we ask everyone to start off by naming a bad actor in politics, real, fictional, biblical, whatever. Oh, and then at the end, we're going to identify a good actor in contrast. Okay. So you want to kick us off? Who's a bad actor in politics that you might want to mention?
I think it was Nebuchadnezzar from the VeggieTales Bunny episode.
Yeah. Which, over on one of my other podcasts, Be Living Water, I'm talking about both the Book of Daniel and Les Miserables. So, I'm going to talk about Nebuchadnezzar a little bit. And since you mentioned him, and we're talking about bad actors in politics, I kind of want to pull someone from Les Miserables, but the problem is, like, the political actors aren't there as much. So, what I'm going to do is the French king during this time, it was during Napoleon III, who actually had Victor Hugo banned from France. And he got elected democratically, and then basically was like, wait a minute, Congress, what if I'm dictator? And just kind of finagled his way into power. And terrible, terrible guy. My one I'm going to name today is going to be none other than Napoleon III. So, with that, we're going to go ahead and move right through the rest of our intro like I know what I'm doing. Guys, you can see on our screen, if you're on YouTube, we do have a t-shirt specifically for the primarily political series. You got an ogre shaking hands with a mech suit over, in front of a political building on the moon. Because why not? it's a fun design. It's kind of silly, but that's kind of why we do this. We try to make politics or policies, whatever. We want to look at, like, what are the actual policies, not just what side are you on, and make light of it, because sometimes we just take this kind of stuff with the wrong kind of seriousness, and we need to be able to have fun when we disagree about this stuff and not make it all, oh, I hate you, So that's why we do this. Get the t-shirt, support what we're doing, support our show. We appreciate it. We also appreciate our financial supporters who, subscribe in one way or another. Today, I want to shout out my aunt, Jeannie Mattingly. Jeannie, we love you. Thank you so much for supporting our show. If you all want your own shout out, you can be just like Jeannie by becoming an official member of Systematic Geekology by visiting our website. Link is in the show description with a million other links. You can get, content, extra free stuff. You can get some of the merch like this t-shirt and other designs as well. Leave a one-time tip. There's so many stuff you could do on the website. So consider going over there, checking it out. We'd appreciate it. If you want to see some of the other links in the description, you'll notice there is also one for a playlist to all of the primarily political episodes. So if you want to, if you like content like this and you're like, man, I just want to hear y'all talk about other random policies and fandoms, good news, there's a playlist. You can check it out. It's a lot of fun. So all that out of the way, Evan, what's your history with Monsters, Inc.?
With Monsters, Inc., I saw it pretty much day one in the theater, the film. I remember through my cousin that was a big animation fan, and he was telling me about this movie coming out with hair, with a monster with hair, and it was like a big deal. And I was like, cool. I was like, probably like tween or so. Oh, no. I was a little bit older. But then I remember going to the movie with him to watch it. And I had no idea. And he would nudge me just before the movie started. And he goes, hey, are you excited for the Star Wars trailer? I'm like, wait, what? And there was the Star Wars Episode 2 trailer premiered before the movie. And that was so cool. The whole crowd went crazy. And it was so much fun. So, and then the movie was great, and it's a classic in my household right now. My 13-year-old, she loves that film, that first film, and when she told me, when we found out that they were making the Monsters Land at Disney, here at Hollywood Studios, she said, Dad, this is going to be my Star Wars land. And I was like, oof, I love it. I love it. So yeah. So that's going to be huge when that comes out. The sequel is really fun. The show, I loved what I saw. I never finished it, but it was a fun show. And yeah, so that's my origin story with them.
Yeah. I do not remember the first time I saw this, like, at all. So I don't know if that's, like, how young I was, or just because I've seen it so many times, or just because, like, I don't know, limited space up here.
Sure.
It's kind of just always been around.
So, yeah.
Just kind of, you know, I was, like, 10. It's been around most of my life. I will say, man, I do remember Monsters University wasn't huge on. I actually do like the show a lot, Monsters at Work. I remember me and my wife, whenever it was airing, we would like sit down and we would like do the little noises with them. All the music with it. We love it so much. The music's iconic. The fur, hair, whatever. This is the first time animation kind of like got that right. This is why Pixar's known for its like highly stylized animation. It's because of stuff like Monsters, Inc. And, you know, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., Nemo. I think that's like Pixar's big three. That doesn't mean they're my favorite of Pixar's, but like that's kind of what made Pixar known for what they are. Yeah. So like they're like the pillars, I guess. And it's just, it's awesome stuff. Monster University, I think the reason I just didn't click for me was just kind of like, it was almost too playful. It just didn't feel relatable when it came out. Monsters at Work was very much like dealing with the ramifications of what happened in Monsters, Inc., where it's like, okay, wait a minute. Everyone's growing up in this infrastructure of we're going to learn to be scared because that's what gives power and that's what gives you a secure job. And now all of a sudden it doesn't. So you got Tyler showing up who's I like what the animation wise. I like what they did with the show because they don't have the budget to do what they do with Monsters, Inc. So what did they do instead? They chose monsters that were easier to design. That way they didn't have to make the animation worse. They could just have easier things to animate. So I like how they did that. The animation still wasn't quite as good as Monsters, Inc., but it was still like, oh, that was clever. And just kind of seeing what he went through and the ramifications of like all of a sudden there's different sources of power and how does Monstropolis and the, you know, the citizens interact with that? Like, oh, well, we've always known fear, you know, scare power. We don't know anything about laughter. What if it's not stable? What if it's, you know, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. These are actually real questions that people would ask. You know, I'm like that. It just makes sense. Like, I feel like it was just a, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense that this is what would follow Monsters, Inc. So I really like how they handled that. And that's kind of mostly what we talk about. Also, of course, when Kingdom Hearts had Monstropolis and I got to run around in the factory and guardrail on like the rails with the doors, I'm like, you know, when you were a kid, for me, because I love video games, I remember seeing that as a child being like, man, that needs to be a ride or something. It is going to be a ride. But before I got the ride, I got to do it in Kingdom Hearts. I was like, nice. And you know what? I was like, I'm going to do it again. Kingdom Hearts 3 gets crapped on for a lot of things. Monsters, Inc. World is not one of those things. That was a great time.
Nice.
Yeah. So just isolating. Since we're here to talk politics, you know, this, we're here real serious men talking about political things. What happens in Monstropolis that we find out during the first movie? There has become a power crisis. Kids are less scared of monsters. You know, turns out parents are doing a good job showing it. There's nothing under your bed, nothing in the closet, whatever. And so the way that monsters get power, where they jump out, they scare, and they have canisters hooked up to these portal doors. And when this kid screamed, it would fill up the canister with scream power, and they were able to use that almost like a big battery, right, to kind of fuel the city. Now the kids are less scared, either because they're distracted on their phones or because parents are doing a good job or they've seen TV and become desensitized. You know, there's all these different reasons. They're not screaming as much. Ergo, less power is being collected. Crisis. The monsters have been convinced that humans are toxic. You can't touch anything. If human touch you, you might die, right? But some people seem to know differently. So there seems to be kind of like a little bit of a conspiracy here of like some monsters kind of know. This isn't really a thing. And you find out one of the main antagonists, Randall, and then the boss, the head honcho of Monsters, Inc., Mr. Waternoose, both were in on this thing of they were going to kidnap children, hook them up to a machine, and extract scream out of them. That's how we're going to get the energy. Well, unfortunately, our main characters, Mike and Sully, if you know, you know. If you don't, watch Monsters, Inc. What's wrong with you? They find out because a kid escapes. They're in the care. The kid's in their care. They're trying to sneak it back in, and they end up discovering when the kid laughs, it produces even more power, more energy than the scream ever did. So here you have a conspiracy to extract screams out of children, and then a new alternative shows up with Monsters, Inc., with Mike and Sully. So I think that kind of sets the stage for what the energy crisis is, what's going on with the power grid, and like some of the stuff. Am I missing any of them in the main points, Evan?
That there's just the portals and stuff like that, that they use the doors to get to the kids, and that's a key way where they that's their job, Mike and Sully. So there's a stake in it too. Like there's some risk in there too for them to lose their jobs and stuff like that because of this crisis. But they don't take it as far as say Randall does, and uses the pretty much a torture device to get the kids. So
yeah, like that's the thing. Like really hits hard for adults. I feel like actually
it's rough. My dad was like, I don't think I like this.
But it's like, and that is the genius of Monsters University existing. Is like you really see. No, they spent their whole life studying to become the monsters that can scare children so they can collect screen power for energy. And that's why I think Tyler was a really interesting character, too, because he's like looking up to Sully and he's like, I'm going to be a good scare like him. And then all of a sudden, no, we don't do that anymore. So, what do you mean? I went to college. I got college loan, you know, all this stuff so that I can learn to be a good scare. And that's not what we do anymore.
I can't do comedy.
Man, it's crazy stuff. But I don't know. It is interesting when you see Worthyman. When you see Waternoose and Randall, you're like, as a kid, like, wow, those are bad guys, and they even look like bad guys. And you're adult, you're like, oh, wait a minute. No, power is important, and your way of life is important, and having a job and keeping the company open. And you're like, it's hard not to sympathize a little bit.
Then there's the problem for sure, but they're just not coming at it at the right angle.
So you have that set of issues with Monsters, Inc. And then at Monsters at Work is the other one that I thought was really interesting. You have Fear Co., which is another alternative company that's, we still do screams, basically. We're not going to do that laugh stuff. It's unstable. We don't know what's going on with that. We're still going to use scream here. And they're kind of competing against Monsters, Inc. So you have Fear Co. competing with Monsters Incorporated. Who's going to supply the energy to the city? And that's when you get Johnny Worthyman, who's like, oh, this is how we've always done it. We're going to do it just like that. And, you know, it very much sounds similar to what people say today. Like, wait a minute, what do you mean electric cars or solar power or whatever? It's like, that's not how we know. This is how my dad did it. My dad's dad. Like, oh, wait a minute. Come on, guys.
Hey, podcast fam, want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
So, there is a lot here. I want to know, Evan, we touched on it, but what do you think? Do you think the fear of humans, of like, oh, humans are toxic, do you think that was like fabricated to help those who are profiting from the Scream industry? Do you think it's like a true conspiracy that way? Or do you think that was just something, I'm reading too much into it and it's just a animation show, cartoon?
No, I think there was a big, I'll put my tinfoil hat on for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we're the monster conspirators.
Yeah, it seems like the people in charge, they did not do their homework. They just saw one way of doing things, and they were like, "This is going to work for us, and I'm going to do this as long as we can, and we need to keep this going. And what's the best way to do it is by fear, and fear will keep the system going, and it's going to keep the machine going." So no, I think, I don't know if it's fabricated, but it was definitely exploited is just the word that came to mind. But yeah.
I'm thinking it's fabricated. I think it's made up. I think a lot of monsters truly don't know, obviously, but I think there are some who do know, and we're using it to manipulate people so that you keep them afraid. They won't challenge what you're doing. They won't push back, and you can own the power industry. If you own the power, you own the people. And it's interesting that they were using fear to kind of control the monsters in that way, if we're saying that theory is correct. Because the whole premise of what they were doing is scaring children. So it's kind of like layers there of like, that's kind true. Of a little bit of like a metaphor. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I'd like to think that's what they were doing, because like it really works symbolically. You're like, oh, they're not just using fear to scare children.
And yeah, that's cool that you say that, because that provides a different perspective. Maybe they were just completely bought in on it. Like, hey, they are scared of us. So that's just how this works, you know? So they just never really try to question it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we know, especially from our own times in America today, 2026, it's easy for people to be afraid of people who look different than them. And I can't imagine monster to human, human to monster. Yeah. It's hard to make that friendship work, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, there's so much I love. I too want to say, like, I think a little bit of this, we can see a similarity in how nuclear power has been treated in real time with us humans. Because, at one point it was a scary thing. We thought it was toxic. It was going to hurt people. So we kind of backed off on it. And now that we've learned more, we're like, wait a minute, actually nuclear energy is safer than most of the other energy we're using, cleaner, more effective, supplies more power. But guess what? People are still scared of it. And that's why we don't pursue nuclear energy, even though it's cleaner, more efficient, safer form of power. And then, I think that too gets to Tyler and the Monsters at Work stuff, because like it just so much makes sense. Like at first watching the show, I'm like, wait a minute, why would people still want scare power? And then I'll go, oh, no, I do get it, because people are afraid of laugh power. They don't know.
Right. Right.
And it's like that's something we do in real life.
And it's like when you live through something, it's different from when you read it in a book or in a history book. Like when you hear about a gas car, like you just assume that after Ford created that car and the Model T came off the line, everybody was using the car. That's not the case, you know. It's like things get they take time to adopt to people's lives and stuff like that. And you're right, they show really portray that in a very humanistic and true to life way.
Yeah, you know, a little bit. It reminds me of like to me, and I think a lot of people have the experience when you're younger and you're reading the Bible and you're like in Exodus and stuff, and you're like, why do they keep not believing God? Like, he keeps doing stuff. It's been like 10 days, dude, chill. And then like the more you get older, the more you're like, oh, wait a minute, that's just me. This isn't funny anymore. That's real life, and it's me. I'm the one who's like, God's not going to come through this time. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
I'm the problem. It's me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, love that. Good reference. So you're very aware. Listeners might not be aware. Our annual theme on Seismic Ecology this year are the faces behind us, right? And I think we see a couple of really good examples of this throughout the Monsters world, Monstropolis franchise. Sure. Yeah. Because if you think, well, I'm going to do one by one here. Water Noose, I'm going to start with Water Noose, you know. This spider guy, he's had family upon family, his own Monsters, Inc. He's got a huge legacy. He was not only the face behind Randall, you know, the little lizard, we're all like, oh, what a bad guy, extracting fear and screams. He was also who inspired Sully, our main, you know, Kitty, the main good guy, is inspired from the same guy who's telling Randall to go extract screams. I thought that was really interesting. So, Evan, maybe would you like to comment any on like how can one guy inspire both someone like Randall and someone like Sully?
I mean, it goes back to what you said. It's probably like that it hits people differently, different times of their lives. You know, Sully saw it as a inspiration probably around college time, I think, is how they mentioned it. And I think it does that in a different way. And the Water Noose was probably not so heavy handed in his exploitation tactics. So he wasn't trying to expose it all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm Lutheran, I could say, well, we're all saint and sinner. So there's that. And I truly, like, the more I think about the Monsters, Inc., the original film, I don't think Water Noose set out to be an evil man, right? Like, you could tell he is genuinely upset when Sully figures out what's happening, their conspiracy, him and Randall, what they're doing, because he's like, now I have to get rid of Sully. And he really does seem to like Sully. Like, I think that Water Noose wanted to be a good guy, but he couldn't. He was so afraid. We're going back to fear. The monsters being afraid. He was so afraid of losing his industry that his family owned for so long, losing his job, his livelihood. His family,
yeah.
That he was like, yeah, like, I don't think he was all bad. I want to say that. Like, I think that's the main thing. But I also think corporations, people who want money, are going to support things that make them money.
Yeah.
Sully was making money. He was a good scarer. So, yeah, he was like friendly with him. Like, hey, man, you do it. Randall had a plot, an evil plot that was going to what? Make him money. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. Like a little bit, I think, you know, money root of all evils kind of shows up there. Yeah. Any other thoughts of that? I got a few other ones, but I want to see if you had any other thoughts with Water Noose.
Yeah. It's the, like the faces behind them. It's like, there's that, do we know if a Water Noose had kids? Because I'm sure that affected him.
According to the expanded Disney Wiki lore, Water Noose the Third had a son named Water Noose the Fourth.
Okay. Hmm. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Huh. But anyway.
Humanizes him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that does make sense. You know, you have family. Also, you don't want to be the one that ruined your family's legacy. Like, I just don't think he was all. Randall, however, just wanted someone to show him some form of approval. He just wanted someone to think he was the best. He needed people to feel like he was better than everyone else. So he figured out if he could make money for Water Noose, the Water Noose would approve of him. And I think that's just, I think his motivations were a lot more shallow than Water Noose itself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So what's interesting here, though, So I mentioned Tyler Tussman. So he's the Monsters at Work. He's the main character in that TV series, right? He went to college. He's like, I'm going to be like Sullivan. Because he's like, you know, he grew up. He knows that's the top scarer of Monsters, Inc. He was the top of his class in Monsters University. He was like, I'm going to be like this guy. So he's going to Monsters University, going to learn how to be a good scarer. And then finds out that Sully turned Monsters, Inc. over, and now they're producing Laugh Power. And he's like, well, what did I go to college for? But he still looks up to Sully so much. He's going to go to Monsters, Inc. He's going to try to find out a way to work at this place where he can't be a scarer anymore because they don't do that. And he struggles, and it's what makes the show funny. And you have kind of like the Office vibe thing that Evan mentioned. What I think is interesting. Yeah. So Sully is what makes Tyler Tussman Tyler, right? Like, he's like, wants to be a good scarer. And then he sees a Sully change. Like, okay, I'm going to be like this guy. This is a good guy. I'm going to model myself after him. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go to Monsters, Inc. I'm gonna try to learn how to be a comedian now, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
I want to know, since we said Waternoose was one of the faces behind Sully, he kind of helped inspire Sully, let Sully have his confidence, all that. Sully, who inspires Tyler Tussman. So, Evan, how would Tyler be different without Waternoose?
Without Waternoose,
yeah,
we probably wouldn't get Sully in the same way, probably, right?
Yeah. I mean,
we won't get him in his elevated status where he's employee of the month every month.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my thought process is kind of like, I think without Waternoose, I can't quite put all the pieces together cleanly, but I feel like Sully ends up at Fearco instead of Monsters, Inc.
Yeah,
and sure. I think Monsters, Inc., whoever leads it, if without Waternoose, the power crisis is a real thing. And when your company is large enough, it either grows or dies. And Monsters, Inc. seems like it's such a large company, it has to grow. So I feel like Monsters, Inc. probably would have died, and you would have only had Fearco left. Fearco, I think, probably would have survived just because it's a smaller business, more, you know, catering to specific people's needs kind of deal. Probably charging a little bit more in that way. Yeah. So it's probably easier to manage. So I don't think it ever gets away from scares. I don't think Sully ever meets the girl Boo. I don't think he ever meets Boo. He never finds out humans aren't scary. He never turns to comedian, but I think he probably has a stable job at Fearco and lives happily ever after. But Tyler would never hear about the great Sully, who's the greatest scarer, who then turned Monsters, Inc. to a laugh. Like, I don't know. I don't think Tyler just couldn't be him at all. Without Waternoose, Sully's a completely different character. And I think the version of Sully we get would not have inspired Tyler, you know?
Sure.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Tyler would have been the Akumail of the monster world.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Cause like, you do say, and then that gets to like Will's whole entangled thing, but like, you know, one person inspiring another person inspires someone else. And like, at some point you're like, you could track it like 2-3 people back. And like, you know, if my grandpa didn't exist, we wouldn't know each other. And it's like, it's so weird because you never met my grandpa. And yet our relationship kind of bases on, these people like generations before us. Yeah. But yeah, I find all that interesting. You know, this is going to be an incredibly long episode, but I do want to get to like how politicians in the real world do similar stuff here, where they're using these kind of like fear tactics, or they hide solutions to problems that might cut into their profits. Like one I know is like cancer cures. So many companies have just bought patents to cures for different cancers, because why would they want you to have that? Then they couldn't sell you breast cancer awareness month stuff or whatever else. So they just buy the patent so they can keep selling you products and medicines that might help but won't solve the issue. And there's no guarantee that these patents would work, but that kind of stuff happens a lot. You also have gas companies buying patents for different kind of engines for cars too. Happens all the time.
I was thinking about that with the, maybe just a couple years ago, Toyota, they showed off a engine kind of based on water. And I was like, let's see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we definitely see the fear stuff too. Like I think certain, well, you know, administrations such as the Trump administration and other administrations do the same with, like, they want you to be scared of immigrants, because why? If you really look into it, you'll see administrations like theirs are kind of belittled by this, because the ones they're opposing, a lot of your Democratic administrations, promote immigration. It turns out immigration is really good for the economy, actually. It actually helps everybody grow. It provides, unfortunate to a degree, but it provides cheaper labor in a lot of places that allows us to have products that are actually affordable, that allows the economy to exist.
It's democratic in that way.
And there's no way to straight oppose that. Like, there's not a good way for a politician to be like, oh, no, that's bad for you. You know what? Why is more people being happy and me having cheaper stuff bad for me? They can't oppose it. So what do? Instead, they make you scared of the people, because then you're not actually thinking about the policies and the ramifications of it. Just like in the Monstropolis, we're not going to really be able to convince you that it's a bad idea to have cleaner, safer energy for the whole city. So what are we going to do instead? We're going to make you scare them. What if it's unstable? What if the kids are actually dangerous? We're going to introduce some fears that you don't actually think about how this policy is very clearly actually better for everyone.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. I have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording, like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in? Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology? All right, guys, see ya.
And I was going to make a comparison, but I don't think.
Go for it.
I was thinking about something with the wall that Trump wanted to do, comparing it to the way they are, the way that they have the, that the only way to get to the human world to get the screams are from those doors inside the company.
I think there's something there too. And like controlling the portals. They don't call it portals. They just call it doors. But like it is a level of power. Mm-hmm. I actually thought the more you think about it, it's kind of weird. Monsters, Inc. It's just like, that's like Duke Energy. Like, it's just a company, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they seem to be the one that's in charge of banishing the abominable snowman and Bigfoot. It's like, wait a minute. Why do they have that much power, actually?
True.
I mean, part of it's money. Part of it's they own the doors. You own the border, you own the people, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, no, that's good stuff. Also terrifying stuff.
A little bit.
So, Evan, do you think it really matters what kind of energy we use? Clearly we know there's different cleaner energies, stuff that's more effective, whatever, but is there like any ethical or moral responsibility, especially for like Christians, to say, hey, I should probably care more about what kind of energy I'm using?
That's the big question, isn't it? That's the question of, do you walk the walk or do you just talk the talk? You know, it's like, where's the line of trying? And there's also the line of a control, like, sure. Yes. I think it's unethical, but how far do you go to make someone else believe that it's unethical too? There's that tension there.
Yeah. And you don't see as much of this in Monstropolis because limited time and it's a children's movie. But like in our real world too, like, we know that gas is ruining the planet. We also know that we're running out of natural gases. At some point, we're just not going to have any more to use. So we're going to have a real power crisis on Earth if we keep going the way we're going. And part of like what makes it different for us, at least in America, I'm sure this is probably the case in several other countries, the politicians are supported by money, basically. I'm just going to shortchange all the political lingo. And the people with money are the people who own the gas companies. So they're paying all your bills. Like even Bernie Sanders, like so many of his sponsors are people who own gas companies who have stock in this. And then it's like, even if you get elected and you're like, I'm going to be the clean energy guy, you're really going to go up there and say, all you people who gave me money, we need your industries to die now. Probably not.
Yeah. You know? Because then that starts affecting everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't want the rich sponsors to turn on you, and you can lose your political power by advocating for clean power. And it's like, yeah, no one wants to do that. But realistically, we are harming the planet. I've seen studies that actually show that we're doing better than we had the last decade. And a lot of politicians who care about clean energy feel like they shouldn't say that, because if we tell people we're doing slightly better, they're going to stop trying to do more. And I'm like, I don't think that's the case. Like, I feel I have enough confidence in my fellow humans that we're like, oh, we're doing better. Let's keep going. Let's do even more better. Like, slightly better really isn't enough to change anything. We need to be exponentially better. So I do think it's important we care. First commandment in the Bible is be fruitful, multiply, and care for the earth. Like, that's part of the job, you know? Like, it's the whole gig. You know, I'm not a literalist or anything, but I'm also like, I do think it was probably included for a reason. And even without that stuff, I'm like, the limited time we have here, you know, the existentialist in me is like, I want to see clean skies and animals running around again. And I want to see, like, the ocean stay clean so that, like, generations from now, they can still see the beautiful things we've seen.
Yeah.
And to me, like, one of the biggest wake-up calls about energy, this was just personal. After COVID, when you started going back places, the national parks were closed. And I remember the first time I went back to Cumberland Island, my favorite place to go camping. This island has wild horses and turkeys and, like, all kinds of, like, crazy stuff, right? And usually, the animals want to stay away from you. Like, you'll see them, but they're not going to, like, be up in your business. But when the fairies showed up, the horses started coming up to where the people were. They missed seeing the people. And I remember, like, on Instagram Reels and I think some, like, TikTok, some stuff people were sharing. I'm not on TikTok, but, like, there was all this stuff of, like, the water being clean just because people weren't able to travel as much. And it's like, man, just stopping for that short period of time really had all these images around the globe where I'm like, wow, the earth is so much more beautiful when we're not destroying it with natural gas.
Right. It's like when you lose power and then you go outside and you can finally see the stars. You know, it's like, oh, that's always been there. It's kind of my fault that I can't see the stars right now. You know?
Yeah. Light pollution sucks. Not because it's bad for the environment. I mean, I think it is, but, like, I'm just kind of like, man. Mm-hmm. I like seeing stars. I wish we just could turn more lights off so we could see the stars.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but no, I definitely think it matters. I think it's something that God seems to care about us caring for the planet. And there's not really any reasons not to have clean energy. I think that's the thing that gets me. It's like people are like, oh, well, we've always done it this way. Okay, if we could do better than what we've always done, let's do it. Who cares that we've always done it?
Yeah.
Know? Like, that's like, you know, that'd be like having an infant look up at you and be like, why would I walk? I've always crawled. And, well, yeah, crawling's fine, I guess. But if you could walk and run, why wouldn't you do that?
And when you see it in other kinds of sectors of businesses and stuff, like when we went from CDs to digital media to streaming, you know, it's like, sure, it's not the same, but we survived, you know? It's like we are still getting some great content and some great music, you know? Sure, we need to learn how to live with you might need to adjust that you need to plug your car in every day, but hey.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too much of an ask.
Yeah. No. And it's like, it's something that I know we can't all just suddenly change one day, be like, I'm going to stop using gas cars. Like, you know, not everybody can just afford to go stop and get an electric car. I cannot.
That's range fine. Anxiety is a thing for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it is important that we realize what certain politicians and stuff are doing, where they're trying to use fear to keep us from seeing what advances we could be making as a society. And then once we recognize that they're trying to distract us with these fear tactics and everything else, we can say, actually, I'm going to vote for people who are standing up for this. I'm going to write to my congressman and say, hey, actually, I don't want this agenda push. I would rather us try to pursue clean energy. One thing you can do, especially if you live near the coast, wave energy is actually really, really powerful and awesome. And they have ways to actually put stuff in the ocean that's harnessing the power from waves. Mm-hmm. Clean energy, natural resource. It's
Disney
awesome.
Disney did it for a while.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah. And in general, this is just my plug. If you're going to sponsor things of different clean energies, you want to like find a company to sponsor or write to your congressman. The way energy works, it's most efficient when you have multiple sources. I'm not saying we have to completely get rid of natural gases. We could probably just use it minimally and be fine. But it's helpful if you don't just use solar power. You use solar and wind and wave, because having multiple sources creates a more sustainable system. And that's the kind of thing that I think we should be pursuing. We should be voting. We should be asking our congressmen about. We should be asking our senators about whenever it comes to election season. Write in and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Because I think a lot of that's going to show you, are they just trying to win your vote? Are they trying to fear tactics and manipulate you? Or are they going to be real with you and say, hey, actually, yeah, this stuff is better. You're right. Let's do something about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Evan, anything else to add about a power, energy crisis, Monsters, Inc., Monsters at Work, anything else?
I think it's ironic that it was that there was a power crisis and we're talking about a power grab, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's something there.
Yeah, a little bit of irony for us all. Mm-hmm. Maybe not good irony, but, you know, it's irony. Yeah.
My shirt needs to be ironed.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. At the beginning, we mentioned a bad political actor. Now, here at the end, we can mention a positive political actor, real life, biblical, fiction, whatever. Evan, who's a positive political actor that you would like to shout out for everybody?
This one came to mind, and I think we see a similar example of the show Monsters at Work. We see that tension of the shift to a new energy. We see that in Star Wars in the shift of to a new republic. And yeah. I think that my choice for the positive for the positive player in some politics will be Princess Leia in the sequel sequel era, and how she had to manage her perception and her fears, and she still did it in a way that was still kind of in the heart of the rebellious nature of what we needed to fight the Empire. So
yeah, I like it. Well, man, since I started off talking about a bad political actor in Victor Hugo's time and mentioned Les Miserables, I'm actually going to mention a character from Les Miserables, Javert, who everyone's like, wait a minute, that's the bad guy. That's the police officer chasing Valjean Bon. Listen, hear me out. Yes, he was a bad guy because he was so blinded by the law and what rigid structures, what he had to do. But I didn't say good guys. I said good political actor. What he was doing politically was, here is my job. I want to uphold order. That is a good thing. He just got lost in it and became a bad guy. So I'm going to keep Javert as my good political actor because I think he was trying to do good. And he was acting in good faith. So, yeah, I'm going to keep him up there.
Solid yeah, choice.
I don't think he deserves the hate. Anyway, I do want to shout out one of our financial supporters, as always. Ethan, we mentioned you earlier. I'm going to mention you again, man. Love you. Thank you so much for supporting our show. You rock, dude. Guys, if you want your own shout out, you also can become an official member of Systematic Geekology by going to our website, clicking the link down in the show's description. You can become an official member on the site. You can also get some free extra content. You can buy a merch. You can leave a one-time financial gift if you don't want to become a member. Or, I already said merch, so it's not an or. But speaking of merch, Primarily Political does have its own t-shirt. So go to that website, get a t-shirt, become a member, do something, have fun with us. Just keep geeking out. We're having a blast over here. We're having a ball. That's a reference to a different t-shirt, but we hope you guys join us in all the fun as we keep doing this.
Pixar
remember, If you want to hear more of this series, link, lots of links in the description, but there will also be a link for the playlist of this. You can hear all of our political episodes here. And we want you to do one very important thing for us. And remember, you're all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Oh, you guys, I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time, and we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out, because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically, just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt, instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out. And thank you.
This show is a proud member of the Anazal Podcast Network. Other shows on the network include Be Living Water, where Joshua Knoll discusses various topics from a Taoist Christian perspective, inviting listeners to imitate Christ and be water, beneficial to all, and a conflict with none. Friday Night Frights, Roday and Christian Ashley discuss all things frightful, from UFOs to the paranormal to serial killers and more. Kung Fu Pizza Party, where Brandon discusses all things martial arts media, delivering high-flying action and wisdom, one slice at a time, all in under 30 minutes. And my other show, with Christy Whaley, Theology on the Rocks, where two theology PhDs talk about our lives, the world, and theology, all over drinks, clearly. Come on over each week to hear two besties discuss academic nerd stuff, while also banter endlessly, especially if wine is involved.